have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
Loud noises!
I know kung fu.
This is madness!
Where are you?
Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 53 of a revamped, reworked, and crazy Real Talk. I'm sitting here with Doug, of course.
That's me.
And we have a special guest. Kevin is in the house.
Hello.
Now, do you like to go by Kevin or like Kevin KW?
Oh, Kevin's cool. Or WK. It's like Andrew WK, but not as cool.
Is it WK? You know? Okay, WK. I'm just going to call you Dub K.
K-Dub.
K-Dub.
Cool.
K-Dub.
It's my hood name.
K-Dub.
It's my hood. I go by, yeah. Oh, cool. I got another hoodster. I go in the hood,
no.
too.
Oh, no.
They call me Jay Dizzle.
No, no, they don't. They call you Jer Bear.
Oh, you just want to hug them.
It's really true. They do call me. It's sad.
I think we were in an argument about something yesterday. Not even like a real argument, but I was just like, you're like, I said I'd do it, Doug. And I said, okay, Jer Bear.
I left it at that. I just, yeah. I couldn't respond. What was I going to do?
You can never end an argument like that.
We'd like to first and foremost, screwing up already. Welcome
Happy
everybody to a new format. We kind of have a new focus around here. We mentioned it throughout the beginning of the year that instead of just film, we're going to incorporate some video games, some comic book and books and things of that nature into our show. So this is the first show of its kind.
Yeah, the absolute first. Of its kind ever on the internet, ever, anywhere, ever.
You are never going to hear anything like this on the internet.
Pioneers.
Yeah. That's,
so,
we're
going
to ford the river.
We worked with the government to open up the airwaves for this episode, so we'd like to thank Obama.
Thanks, Obama. I like the difference between the two.
Yeah.
Thanks, Obama. And then, thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
I'm bringing the bass for this one.
So, Kevin, I kind of started following you because I saw you on the most popular video gaming blogs of all time.
I thought this was going to turn to something creepy. I started following you because I saw you on the corner of the street.
No, it's pretty much just as creepy. Don't worry.
No, you know, I saw him. I the first sight I saw, I was like, I almost saw a little bit of his wang. And I said, oh, I've got to be that guy's friend. And so I tracked him down on Facebook, and I was like, friendship. And from there, it's blossomed. Wait, you didn't say you were married?
Oh, I'm sorry. Spoiler
no!
alert.
No! You just ruined the ending of the...
Just going to throw that away there, you know. Just, you know.
Well, there's one person I got to take care of then.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, you. I saw you on popular blogs, and it was because of something that you were doing, and it was kind of catching steam, and you were unboxing video games, popular video game releases, in your boxers.
Yeah, I mean, the way the whole thing started was we came home. It was me, my wife now, and my roommate. We were coming from the midnight release of Fallout New Vegas, and... You know, when I get home, I'm like a member of like the 93 Chicago Bulls. Like I have one of those, like those rip off pants. They just like come right off. So I'm just in full like relaxed mode. And, you know, before I opened the game, I was just like, oh, yeah, it'd be funny if we do one of those stupid unboxing videos. Because in reality, unboxing videos have never really turned me on at all, because it's always been some kind of mouth breathing guy filming himself opening a box, you know, and like yelling like, shut up, mom, in the background, you know, and just all kinds of stuff. So we're like, oh, let's just film one, you know, I got a new flip cam, let's have fun with it. And my roommate's like, all right, cool, go. And we just kind of just, I wouldn't turn into a nerd trance and just sped the whole thing out. And afterwards we watched it and we're like, oh yeah, that was kind of funny. Let's put it on YouTube and see if we get like 300 views. That'd be amazing. And then like the next morning it was on like Kotaku, Game Informer, all these different websites calling it the sexiest unboxing ever. And it's funny because, I mean, all it was just me like sounding like, oh, hey, what's up, guys? You know, I like video games, you know. just talking like that, just basically making fun of everything that people love about unboxings. Even I kept on purposely messing up things. I kept calling it Fallout 3 just to make people angry.
You know what? And you may have done that, but in fact, it was the most clever thing because, okay, first of all, your sexiness of your body is what is what drew people in, okay?
Can't help it, you know?
And
I got
then,
a hard body.
And it's true. Doug is actually staring at the videos right now as we speak. So he's.
I see one eyebrow go up.
Yeah. So after that's what brings you in. And then all of a sudden, you were actually really funny. You slowed down, you know, you had your little voice, and then you just kept making just jokes that were hilarious. Did I see you do one unboxing where you actually shaved patterns into your body?
Yeah, it was actually my wife's idea too. For Black Ops, the first one, we thought we'd shave body camo into my hair. So, yeah, and she kind of liked to just to accentuate it. She put like Sharpie in it just to make it look, and it was great. Everyone who watched the video was like, "Oh man, it's a weird shirt." Oh, that's not a shirt.
That's his hair.
Yeah, and it's like since I can't grow hair on top of my head, I've been, you know, fashioning different styles on my chest, you know, just to kind of represent. So if anyone wants to advertise on my chest, you know, send me some money, I can use it.
Have you ever thought about doing, I really wish I would have suggested this, but you should have did the bat signal on your chest for Arkham Origins.
I wanted that collector's edition too, because that was actually a really cool one with Joker and just hanging out with a bunch of TVs and stuff. I think I just missed my chance on it. You know, it's just like at this point, I've been a little bit off on my collector's editions, which I'm pretty horrible at, but I will get back on that boat soon.
Are you a mad collector?
I am. I've got kind of like something like that behind me, but it's all kind of off camera, unfortunately. I love collecting stuff like that. I'm actually running out of room, so I've got to start either finding a bigger place or stop being so hoarding, but it's awesome. I love it.
Are you just a hoarder of the video game collectibles, or are you the movie as well? Because Doug is a huge collector of the movie side of things. I'm not sure about the video games, but
yeah, cool. It's mostly movie stuff, movies and just nerdy things, comics,
yeah.
Movies. I don't really have a lot of video game like collectibles though.
Yeah, I mean, I'll do it all. I mean, I've got, like, my favorite, like, I love Friday the 13th, so I'll find, like, a bunch of, like, you know, any kind of Jason figurines or anything like that, I'll collect it. Movie stuff, you know, whatever, I mean, I can dig. Like, I like Terminator 2. Who doesn't? Arnold Schwarzenegger for the win. Best one-liner guy ever.
I can't believe even after death he's still making movies.
Yeah. He's taken to Reddit now. Like, Reddit's his new best friend, and all he does is, like, re-quote all his movies. It's fantastic.
Oh, jeez.
It's a dream come true.
On his downtime, he's just like, well, I guess I need someone to boost my confidence. I'll go to Reddit.
Yeah, it's like
time to jump on the Reddit. Ask me anything.
All right, now do that for the entire show.
Yeah, right? Ouch. Trust me, my wife gets so tired of me trying to quote Arnold. It's Arnold and Bill Cosby, and she hates them both.
Oh, let's hear a Bill Cosby.
No, I'm a horrible Bill Cosby. Like, oh, no. Oh, Debbie. You know, she's like, no, you sound horrible. Don't even try it. And that when she tells me I sound horrible, that makes me want to do it even more. So.
Did you put some pudding in the pudding?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, Debbie, what's your pudding? Put on a nice little sweater. Oh. And she's like, no.
That is really terrible. Sounds,
yeah, it is. That's why.
Creepy. You want some pudding? Put on a sweater.
You know. She's into it. No, she's not. She hates it.
She's into it. She enjoys it.
I love her to
death. It's my bedroom speak. So before we get into getting into the show, we do have a giveaway that we're going to do. We gave away two games already on our Twitter and Facebook pages. So congrats to those people who won. We are going to do one for the show. We are giving away Borderlands 2. And Doug, how are we giving that away?
What we're going to do is at some point during the show, we are going to play a clip of the character, of a character. And tomorrow, which I guess will probably when most people listening to this, we're going to tweet, hey, who is the character that we played on the show? You're going to tweet at us, and the first person to get it correct is going to win a copy of Borderlands 2.
Awesome, and that's on Steam, so that way there's no confusion. We do have a couple people watching the show right now, so if you hear it, Don't be afraid to go ahead and tweet us or Facebook us. And this may be Kevin's wife who's watching, so you're not eligible.
She doesn't even need it. She's borderland out.
I haven't even beat it yet. I think I got about 50 hours in, and I'm playing with three people, and it's very difficult these days to get three friends together to actually co-op with you. Very hard.
Oh, I'll play with you, buddy.
Yeah, me too. Because I bought it for myself as well when I bought, the other ones. So I need
to
play.
There you go.
I have it on the Xbox, but I want to play it on Steam. I mean, that's what you're playing on, so I'll do it. Let's do it.
Awesome.
There you go. Tweet us. You could be the fourth.
We're a carrier of the ring. All right, so now I have some disappointing news. We had about 2 months to prepare for this relaunch, and I'm not gonna name names. Doug really dropped the ball.
I dropped it so hard.
I do not have drops ready for the news and for things of this nature.
That's fine. We'll just jump into it.
So we'll just jump into it, and
unless you want to play the old drops, but I mean,
oh, I don't want to rehash.
Then don't.
Let's move forward, not go back.
Whatever.
Let's do a random Skrillex drop or something.
Yeah.
And then he'll come knocking on one of our doors looking for money.
Yeah.
Seriously.
You know, I used to love the internet until I got famous, assholes. Now pay me. All right, so we have some movie news that we're going to jump into here. Fast 7 will actually retire Paul Walker's character instead of, like, killing him off. And or instead recasting it and taking him out of the movie entirely.
Yeah, well, from what I hear, that they'd actually filmed a lot of his parts already. So they had to kind of figure out how they're going to, instead of reshooting the entire movie, like, kind of work him out. And I even read somewhere a while back that they were talking with his brother about starring, I guess, I don't know how similar they look. I don't know if it's just going to be, like, over-the-shoulder shots. And maybe just him being like, okay, guys, I'm leaving. And then them all just waving as he leaves.
I think they had the same butt, so it was going to be nothing but behind shots.
Oh, okay.
I'm not 100% sure if that's accurate, but that's what I heard.
Yeah. Now, you're a big fan of the Fast and Furious franchise, right? I mean, you enjoy them.
Oh, I enjoy them because they're just popcorn movies, and they're a lot of fun, and you get to just sit back, enjoy, and watch them. I know some people really hate them. Kevin, are you a big fan of it, or you're like, eh?
I haven't seen all of them, but the ones I have seen, I mean, it's right, like you said, it's a popcorn movie. I mean, it's just fun to watch and just see explosions without the bad feeling of you feel like you're watching a Michael Bay movie. You know, you don't feel guilty. So it's, you know, you can keep going, you know. Vin Diesel is, you know, Vin Diesel. Every time he talks, he needs subtitles, or you have to turn the volume way up because you don't know what the heck he's saying. You know, it's just a good time. And then there's just getting, like, it's the Expendables of, like, racing. Now you're getting, like, The Rock, and you're getting, like, who is it? Like, I think Tony Jaa will be in this new one, too.
Oh, and so will, what's his face? Oh.
Yeah, every episode, what's his face?
What's his face? No, you can help me with this.
Ludacris.
He's white and he's bald. He looks like you, Kevin.
He looks like Michael Chiklis? Oh. That's horrible, poor guy.
Oh, man.
Oh, and he talks like, get in the car or else I'll kill you.
Statham?
Yeah, Jason Statham.
I'll take that as a compliment. I've got the Statham look going on, you know.
So, yeah, it is. It really is kind of the Expendables, and it's a lot of fun. They have gotten really ridiculous over the years, but I mean, people love them. They get like $300 million in the box office. And
do you think that this one's going to do better because people are going to see Paul Walker?
Oh,
it's
going
to have the Dark Knight effect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, we have some news. We were talking a little bit before the show started about Boba Fett and how Doug.
Boba Fett? Where?
Behind you. how Doug gets off on Boba Fett. It's pretty much if Doug did not have a fiance, I'm pretty sure he would sleep with a Boba Fett life-size doll.
What?
You can get away with both. Come on.
You can do both.
my helmet. Boba Fett helmet's not behind me. I don't know where it's at.
We have a little bit of news. It's I don't know how factual it is, but I'd rather put it out there for the internet to yell about and to talk about than say it's fake. So, Star Wars spinoff writer Lawrence Kasdan is in fact writing a Boba Fett movie. That's the news that we're getting out of Hollywood. So John Schnepp, best known for his work on the Venture Brothers and
Metalocalypse,
tells AMC Movie Talk that he knows for a fact that it is a Boba Fett movie. And is anyone surprised by this?
No, I think that he was one of the first names that came out about almost a year ago when they were talking these spinoffs. I think his name was literally the first one to drop. It was like them and then Han Solo.
Mm-hmm. So, I think that people have been yearning for a Boba Fett movie.
And I think that his character is kind of, I think Lawrence Kasdan, he wrote Empire Strikes Back, if I remember correctly, which means that he probably created that character, so why wouldn't he be like, I'm going to make a movie about this guy?
Right. And all the books that was written like afterwards, they had like a lot of cool Boba Fett stories, like how he escaped the Sarlacc pit and, you know, and then he was basically, he had like a limp for the rest of his life, but he was like still a badass and, you know, all this kind of stuff. I'd love to see a movie on that.
Well, he didn't even walk anyways in the movies, so.
He just flew.
He just flew, and then he'd move his arms like this. And just grab him, and that's about it. That's all he needed.
To be dead.
I mean, they can get anybody for that role. Doug, you can play in that role.
I'm going to get so fit. No, what they'll probably do is they'll probably go get the guy that played Jango Fett since he's a clone and all that nonsense.
You think they would do that? You think that would do a reveal? I don't think they would.
They would either do that or they may just get the kid. The kid that played him in episode 2 has continued his career as Boba Fett with the animated stuff. He's been the voice of Boba Fett for the past few years.
How close do they sound?
I think they're, you know, I don't actually know where he's from. I know that the actor that played Jango Fett was from like New Zealand. I think the kid may have been too.
Not bad.
And if you're in a suit and you just say it's a young Boba Fett movie, like maybe it's before, you know, all this, like, I mean, who cares what he looks like? He's going to be in the costume the whole time.
Right.
And then,
that's true.
And then we've seen what they can do with makeup. They can make him look like him even more if they needed to.
Mm-hmm. So. As long as Disney doesn't dip their hands too far into this, they'll be like, guess who's going to be Boba Fett under the mask? Justin Bieber. You know.
No. That'd be awesome. Make it happen.
Riots.
Miley Cyrus as the the new Jabba.
Why is Boba Fett pissing into a bucket?
Now, Miley Cyrus would definitely be Salacious Crumb. Jabba the Hutt's little
slut
thing. That guy. That's Miley Cyrus.
Little wrecking ball.
That's what we should do for the rest of the episode is cast Star Wars with Disney characters.
We have the pitch coming up later. We were going to talk about the Batman, but maybe we should just pitch Star Wars cast.
Yeah.
What Disney star who has fallen off the wagon?
There's so many to choose from.
There's so many to choose from.
This is like fantasy football.
All right, that's it. Next week, we're doing fantasy football with Disney wagon, fallen off the wagon characters.
Oh, man.
All right.
Robert Downey Jr. is pushing for Mel Gibson to be in Avengers Age of Ultron.
Oh, that is so wonderful. I don't care who he plays. He could play anybody, and I think that would be fantastic. Mel Gibson showing up as Wonder Woman. That's a DC character. Never mind. I'm losing it. But still, Mel Gibson could show up as anything, and I'll see it. Because it's at this point in his life, he's so like out of it. Like, he'll just do, like, Three Stooges moves the whole time.
What if he played his character from Braveheart?
He's like, yeah, he got frozen in time. He, like, got Captain America, you know, and they just unfroze him.
They both got, because he was thrown off a bridge, and he's like, oh, we found this head, by the way, next to Captain America. So, here he is, Mel Gibson. And they just stick his head into Age of Ultron's body. And then you think that it's James Spader, but he tears it off and it's really Mel Gibson.
That's probably what's actually going to happen.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
James Spader is only
going to rewrite this whole thing.
Yeah. Oh. James Spader is only doing the voice of Ultron, but the actual face is Mel Gibson.
That's right.
So it's a it's well known that, of course, Robert Downey Jr. and Mel Gibson and Jodie Foster are real good friends. They hang out. They kind of followed the same career paths, as started off as huge success, had media fallout, and then built their careers back up. Jodie Foster is in the process of doing that. As you know, she was in Elysium, and she's got a couple other movies coming out. But Mel Gibson has still been struggling to get back on his feet after the whole...
blaming the Jews for everything, you know.
Yeah, the racist slurs. I mean,
being an angry man. He's just angry.
It's almost like he didn't have to do anything for his role in A Lethal Weapon. He just acted as himself.
That was a documentary, and then they just realized they'll put Danny Glover in it and just, you know, make it legit. It's like Bill and Ted. The best acting, you know, Keanu Reeves ever done is when he didn't even act at all.
He's got really great points.
Yeah, he does.
Would you guys, I mean, you would really go see this movie if you saw Mel Gibson? You'd think that it'd be some protest or anything, or...
I could see some possible people with their panties in a wad sort of scenario, which is like, oh, I can't believe they hired this guy in this movie. Right. And I understand that some people are mad, and, you know, and they just hold that anger. But, you know, dude has problems, but that doesn't mean he shouldn't work anymore.
Right. And it's, you know, like what Robert Downey Jr. went through, that like 10 years ago. And look, and everyone loves him now.
Exactly. You know, he was just a party boy, alcoholic douchebag.
Now he plays one.
Turns that into characters in every movie, and he makes a shit ton of money doing it.
He actually is. Have you ever watched him on like the award shows? He actually plays Tony Stark. Like, he's just Tony Stark in real life.
Yeah,
I believe it.
There's no acting. Like, I saw him on the Oscars, and he walks up there with his little, well, he doesn't drink anymore, but water.
Yeah.
He still puts it in a martini glass.
Yeah, though. It's still in a martini glass, though.
It's like Andrew Dice Clay just still walks around with an unlit cigarette, you know?
it's a prop. That's all it is. I got it for that. But, yeah, he's a pimp. But I wouldn't mind seeing Mel Gibson in this film. Mm-hmm. I don't know what role he would have, but it'd be all right.
Just probably a racist douchebag. Let's just... I mean, maybe he can make a career out of that, like Robert Downey Jr. made a drunken asshole career.
That would be
that
all right.
Be like a new villain in the Marvel Universe, Racitron or something like that.
Racitron. I'd be like, yeah, why not? And he goes around and...
He's Ultron's best friend. Ultron and Racitron. Racitron.
All right, so we have come to the part of our show where we'll check out some of the box office winners and box office losers.
And I'm looking at this list that you gave us.
I just updated it. It just synced right now. So let's not...
I was like, this is not right. This is not a great list.
Listen, when I do things, I do it big, okay? So I did this Saturday just in prep, so that way everybody would be prepared. And then, of course, things changed. But I have the right stuff here. So our top five in the box office. Number five is American Hustle. It has made $12.4 million for a total of $87.9 million in 4 weeks. Number four is The Wolf of Wall Street, making $13.2 million for a total of $63.1. Number three is The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, making $15.7 million for a total of $229.1 million in 4 weeks. I'm pretty sure they're going to earn back whatever they spent in the budget. Number two is a very disappointing movie that everybody thought was going to make a huge amount of money based on the previous entries. Paranormal Activity, The Marked Ones, only pulled in $18.3 million. But I guarantee you that this movie only cost $2 million to make anyway, so they made money off of it.
It cost them $5 million to make.
Oh, I was so close. So they made money, so they don't care. Number one is insane. For the seventh week, it's not in the number one for the seventh week, but it's gone back like three or four times. Number one is Frozen by Disney, making $19.6 million for a total of $296.7 million. 7 weeks it's been in the box office. I cannot believe how well that movie's doing.
Yeah, I think this is its first week at number one, isn't it?
No, it's shared number one.
Because the Hobbit was there for a while. I think this is one of the first weeks that we haven't seen The Hobbit at number one. I guess in the 3 weeks that it's been out prior to this.
I think Frozen, this is the second or third time it's hit number one.
Yeah, maybe those weeks before it came out, maybe it was number one. But it was up against, like, Hunger Games at the same time. Mm-hmm. But I think it, like, I think Hunger Games took it the first week, and then I think it's, like, slowly made its way up.
I'm going to call this the Titanic 2.
It's insane how much money this movie, I mean, we're definitely getting a trilogy out of it.
All right, have you seen it yet? Has anybody
no.
seen it?
No.
What? Guys.
I feel weird going to a theater like a movie like that going alone. I already look creepy enough going in there, and I'll be sitting next to a bunch of kids. I'll be like, how's it going? I just came to see Frozen by
you
myself.
Want some candy?
Right. I'm friends with your parents. You know, it's like, it's bad enough. Like, I remember going to see, like, Wreck-It Ralph in theaters, and I purposely distanced myself from kids, and they just got into one to sit next to me. I'm like, damn it.
You're like, all right, hands can be seen at all times.
Yeah.
Hands up. Hand check!
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a... I couldn't hate anybody for going to see these animated movies, because they're not just made for kids anymore. They really do have adult content, and they're a lot of fun. But if you need a watching buddy, ask Doug. He likes to go.
What?
That's the only
we'll do
movies.
One of these Google Hangouts, and we'll just go see the movie together.
Doug will only watch kid movies in the theater for some reason. It's really strange.
Yep.
I'm gonna let that one hang for a little bit. All right, so we have some video game news. Activision has pulled several Marvel games from the Steam, Xbox Live, and PlayStation Network. At this time, this was reported, I believe, last Friday. At this time, there still is no update on why everything was pulled. Some are saying that it is because of licensing deals. Mm-hmm. But the biggest reason for concern of that not being the reason is that how new Deadpool is. It just came out probably less than a year ago?
I think they said less than 6 months ago. And what was really weird is that Deadpool was a part of, like, the Steam sale. It was on sale one of those days, like, sometime between December 19th and, I guess, January 2nd. I remember seeing it there. So when you posted this, I was like, I literally just saw this on Steam.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I picked it up on that too. I picked it was like $10. It's it's an amazing game for $10.
Well worth the $10.
Yeah, if you're a Deadpool fan in general, honestly, it's worth. I think when it first came out, it was $50. Even then, it was worth it because it's got all the Deadpool humor. Plus, you have Nolan North doing the voice of all three Deadpools. You know, the Deadpool and all the voices in his head. And,
that's awesome. I didn't know it was Nolan North.
Oh, yeah. He does everything, dude. He's like remember when Samuel Jackson was like in the 90s, 2000s, like where he was in everything? That's Nolan North these days with video games. Like, he shows up in everything.
Yeah. Assassin's Creed, Uncharted, Batman.
What did he start with? He started with Uncharted, right? That's what he became famous for? Or?
Yeah, that was his famous game.
Really? I really know him. I've known him from Assassin's Creed. He was, you know, Desmond in all the games.
But wait.
And that was first one was 2007, but I don't know when Uncharted came out.
I think they came out the same year. Oh, did they?
I think they were like months apart, yeah.
Yeah. But either way, you're the voice in one of the biggest franchises for either system. I guess Assassin's Creed is on both, but
see, this is why I don't pick up on this is why I don't like to look at the critic ratings, because I saw the critic ratings and they were like at a 60 for this game. But then you talk to somebody and it's just like, oh no, you got to play it. It's just really great. And I think that that's another one of those things to where people it happens in the movies a lot often, a lot more often, is that everyone's so jaded about these movies now that they just give it a low score, even if it's like a really fun movie. And this could be a really fun game, but not like a really deep story. But they'll still be like, oh well, it sucked. So.
Yeah, Metacritic is a gift and a curse for people. It really is. And we're at that age, too, where apparently if a game gets a 7, it's horrible. You know?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
When
a game's on a 7, I'm on the fence whether or not I'll get it. That's where I start going to, like, IGN and all these other websites. Like, what did they give it to? Because a 7 could go either way. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I just remember being a kid, and we didn't care. We just didn't give a crap about any kind of rating. We just saw the game, and we're like, that's awesome. That's a buy. Mom, please get it for me. and then you got it, and you were just like, yes, it's great. But then, of course, you have those moments where you get E.T. for the Atari, and you regret everything.
Oh, I feel bad. I was one of the ones who I helped the landfill.
Oh yeah, I did too.
I remember being a kid, and I was like, "This game sucks. you can't come out of this little tunnel thing."
I tried so hard, and I was just like, "I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it this time. It's gonna work." And I spent so many hours, like, I was like, "This game was meant to be hard, and it's harder than any other game I've ever played." And finally, I gave up.
Yeah.
Remember Pitfall?
Oh God,
that was my favorite. I used to love that game. Oh,
do you have the new upgraded version on your phone?
No, I don't. I think that it's hard for me. It's hard for me to go back to the classics. And like I had this talk a couple days ago with a friend. Is like DuckTales remake. It's $6 on Steam right now, and it looks incredible and it looks awesome. But is it just nostalgia that's kind of pulling me back in? And am I going to spend some time with it? Because I have over 200 games in my library now, and I don't touch hardly any of them.
Yeah.
So it's tough.
I hear you. It's a great platformer, DuckTales. The thing is, it plays exactly like the Nintendo, meaning it brings the frustration of if you kill an enemy on screen and you walk off screen, then you go back and the enemy's waiting for you again. And then, you know, it's a tough game. Like, I mean, I remember rebuying it, like, when it came out on PlayStation Network. And I was like, oh, this is great. And then, like, you know, like 15 minutes later, I was like, this is just as hard as it used to be. And I don't like that. But then I kept playing. It's a frustration level, but I mean, it's a classic and it's fun. But yeah, it's all nostalgia.
Wow. Yeah, that's I just started playing Batman Arkham Origins, and it's really fun, and I'm playing it on normal difficulty, and I'm almost regretting it, and I'm like, I should have played it on easy. This is really difficult. But then
Dude,
I think
it is
about
tough for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think about as a kid though. I was like, we just accepted the fact that these were really hard. But now we're all like pussies, and we're like, nah, it's got to be. We gotta go easy on this.
There's a lot of hand holding in games these days, but I mean, that's the way it is these days, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
But I remember the Mega Man days where, like, you somehow you did it as a kid, and then you thought as you got older you'd be better at it, and you just get worse. Like when
I went back
to play Mega Man, and I threw the control down.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
All right. So we have some co-founders of – now, how do you pronounce it? I pronounce it Criterion.
Probably Criterion.
Criterion, yeah.
Yeah, that's how I said it too, guys.
Good, so we all said the same thing. Perfect.
I'm gonna be a trainer.
Totally.
Right now you like pow, but when I'm done you're gonna be like pillar pow. Get your butt to the arena and let's do this shiz. Step.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought I'd throw that out there. So if you hear it and you know what it is, let us know. I'll play it one more time.
Ta-da! Sup, Shody? I'm gonna be a trainer. Right now you like pow, but when I'm done you're gonna be like pillar pow. Get your butt to the arena and let's do this shiz.
Minecraft.
So go ahead and tweet us or post on Facebook what or who that was from the Borderlands 2 universe, and we'll go ahead and give you a copy of Borderlands 2.
Ba-bam.
Ba-bam.
Kapow.
The co-founders, now this is becoming a huge a kind of exodus of people that get bought out by EA. Everybody leaves. The co-founders just all leave.
Mm-hmm.
The Mass Effect, the BioWare guys have left. Now the Criterion guys have left to form a new studio.
Criterion?
That's what I said.
You need to enunciate your words.
I just did. Criterion.
Oh. Like ludicrous.
I'm just going to go. I'm going to go around and just say ludicrous all day.
Luda?
Luda Chris. Criterion.
There you go.
Vice President Alex Ward of the studio and studio director Fiona Speary have both left Criterion Games. And I really feel that I didn't like the last games. I really loved the first two. Those were really fun.
Which ones?
Of what? Burnout.
Did you say Burnout before?
No, because everybody knows what games they make.
Come on, get in with it, Doug. Of course.
I know what games they make, but I just that one person that's like, wait, what games?
If you don't know what games Criterion makes, it's time for you to not listen anymore.
Wait, okay? Wait, you didn't like Burnout Paradise?
No, because it okay. The thing I loved about the Burnout series was the one of the biggest things I loved was you're roaring down and you're doing as much damage as you can, and then you just slam into the middle of the city, and your car explodes, and you try to damage as much stuff around you. I just loved that. And now it just turned into like this whole like, all right, we're in this open world. Everything's got to be open world. And I didn't get into it. I didn't like it. And the crashes were all the same.
I guess I was actually playing it over the break. I was just watching TV like, and then playing on my laptop because I don't have to like listen to that game at all. You know, it's just you're just driving around. I don't know. I was having fun with it. Like, doing like the takedown races where you just literally just crash into people and take them out, like
yeah, but everybody's doing that now. Like even the Need for Speed series, I got that game as well, and I played that. I was like, it's the same game.
Yeah, it is. Although Rivals is pretty much like what Burnout Paradise should have been. That's the newest one that just came out for like I think PlayStation 3, 4, Xbox, and Xbox One. But yeah, it's really fun, and they've mixed in Burnout Paradise with the Hot Pursuit series, where you can actually play as the cops or the people running from the cops, and it's really fun to play online. But it's one of those things, right? It's open world. If you go offline, there's not really much to do. So it's but it is fun.
Well, they've left, and that's I wanted to bring up, and the kind of thing they're. EA really dictates. They have a lot of enticing things for you to do. Even when Infinity Ward went over to EA, one of the founders of Infinity Ward also left the company. So now we only have one of the remaining guys working on that big title. And what's the name of that title? Help me out, guys.
Titans Fall,
yeah. And I really think that EA has a huge problem with retaining talent when it comes to the decision making. And a lot of the things I've seen out there is when these big companies get either the smaller studios or the studios that think they're making the right decision, is it's no longer the producers who are making the decisions, but the marketing department.
Mm-hmm.
And that has gotten a lot of people frustrated and wanting to start their own studios again or work on indie projects, because it's just gotten to be the point where it's like, okay, well, we want to put these features in the game. Well, let's run this by the marketing department to see if it's going to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it tends to piss off a lot of people.
Yeah, and then I guess you have these people that are leaving because they're like, okay, screw you, EA. I'll go make this game elsewhere where we'll sell it on Steam in the indie market and do perfectly fine forever.
I mean, look at the mod community in Steam. I mean, if you could, when you can release a mod for Arma 2, call it DayZ, and then get a standalone deal out of it,
yeah,
and sell 600,000 copies in the alpha stage.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Did you play Gone Home at all? Have you played that one yet?
No, is that what is that one?
It's another one that I think was made from a what game was it from? Amnesia, I think it
Amnesia,
was.
Amnesia, yeah, you got it. Amnesia.
Yeah, it was Amnesia. These people just took Amnesia and like modded it or whatever, and then like they just made this whole new game out of it. Now it's not scary at all, and it's a really crazy game. It's something very unique. I don't know if I've ever. Wait, you're about to say something.
Oh no, I've played it. I streamed it one night. I do like a Twitch stream nowadays because I'm in school, so I've got nothing to do at night. And
did it freak you out though?
Yes, there was actually some moments in it because they kind of, not even without spoiling it. There's some moments in the game that make you feel like something's going to happen. Like, you're trying to figure out where everyone's at. Basically, the whole story is this girl comes home from a year-long trip in Europe and nobody in the family's home, mother, father, somewhere, the sister somewhere, and you're just trying to figure out what the hell's going on. So you find it out through notes.
Yeah, and pretty much what I think some of the story setup is that this is a new home even to this character, where it's mm-hmm. like I feel like there's somewhere where it's like they moved into this house while you were gone. So you're coming home to this new home for the first time, and no one is there. And so you're just kind of like exploring the house. And they kind of make it a little tense because it's like raining and like there's lightning and thunder. And Jeremy, I think I was actually texting you while I was playing this because I was like, this game is freaking me out. I know there's nothing scary. Because I was like the first thing. I love scary movies. I love scary stories. Mm-hmm. Scary video games, can't do it. they stress me the fuck out. Like, I cannot handle it. And so I like was like literally like, is this game scary? And they're like, no, just play it. I'm like, okay, cool.
And we have to get you to play Slenderman.
No. See, I'm good.
Or Amnesia.
No.
Yeah.
I have Amnesia. I'm not even going to... I don't know why I have it. Like Alan Wake. Not really a scary game.
Yes, it is. I can't play those games unless someone else is in the house and the lights are on.
Dude, like Silent Hill 2, man. Like, I'd play that game when I was a kid, but it would be like, yes. All my friends are there. It's the middle of the day. All the windows are open. You can barely see the TV because of all the glare.
You know what
and
game?
It'd still be like, scary as crap.
Fear, it almost made me crap my pants.
Well, but Gone Home is a really good game. But that's another one, again, where it was made off of mods, and now it's like this. Mm-hmm. It's doing really well. It's on a lot of people's like top 10 games of the 2013.
Yeah.
It was a very unique game, and I think I got it on one of the Steam sales for like $3 or $4, and it was, I think it's going for more than that, but it was fun, even though it took like 3 hours to from start to finish, but it was really good.
Somebody is actually working on an old school RPG version of Gone Home now too, where it's a, you know, like just old like SNES version, like pixel version, and they're doing that as well. It looks really good. Well, I mean, as good as a pixel game could look.
Right.
But it's really funny, and they have their full permission.
That's awesome, because it's kind of like an upgraded like point-and-click adventure game where it's like, oh, you walk into a room, you can pick up that note, and that note gives you part of like the story. And then like, oh, you pick that up, and that maybe, you know, there's a key there to open a door. I mean, it's kind of what that game was, but in this really awesome environment where you could like pick up and examine like everything. It was really cool.
That's really neat.
It was missed without the frustration.
Yeah, seriously.
We have a winner.
Already?
We have a winner for the Borderlands 2 game. At iSorcery has been listening to the show, and he tweeted us, I heard character Tiny Tina.
Yeah, bam, iSorcery. All right, you're getting a copy. Now, just to be fair to the people who are going to listen to the podcast later, I will personally put up another copy so someone else can win tomorrow, because that's ridiculous.
Look at you. Look at you being so generous, giving a second copy.
I'll let someone else win one too. So thanks, iSorcery, for listening to the show. We appreciate it.
Also, Kevin, for being on the show. He's going to give you a copy of Borderlands 2 as well.
Yeah, yeah. You all win. Wait, what?
That's awesome.
It'll be pending, just 6 to 8 weeks for delivery.
Yeah, it'll be in the mail.
Yeah.
Digitally in the mail.
Digital copy.
So speaking of Steam, this is not on our show notes, but you and I kind of talked about it a little bit before the show, that at CES, that's going on?
Yeah, CES is, started this Monday, which would be today.
And they've already started dropping some information on the Steam boxes that are coming out.
Yeah, all the first party Steam boxes have been announced. All the major companies are putting them out. iPower, Asus, Alienware, everybody. Mm-hmm. The lowest price that I've seen so far in this news story was $4.99.
$4.99 mm-hmm. and up. I saw all the way up to like 6,000.
Now I have to inform people who do not know what a Steam box is. Steam box is something that Steam, and if you're not familiar with Steam, go online. There's over 7 million people who own it, who have it and installed. It's probably the largest gaming community there is out there.
Yeah, it's free. Like, if you're gonna go look it up, you may as well just download it too.
Yeah, they have crazy sales. It's pretty much think Xbox Live or PlayStation Network for the computer. They offer crazy deals. They have great service, and they just announced that they're releasing their own operating system and their own hardware with a controller for the TV, because they wanted to make it funner and easier for people to get in front of the TV and play the games.
And I think they're trying to kind of sneak into the console market in a way, like kind of like edge into some of those people like me who I play both. I play on my laptop and I play there. Mm. But like, Steambox is perfect for me, because then I have the best of both worlds in that case. Whoa, hit my microphone. But I can play my Steam games, all, you know, the hundreds that I have.
Yeah.
The only thing with me is I cannot get over the hump. If I'm going to pay $1,000 for a box for computer, I mean for games, it's going in my office, because it's going to be an upgrade to what I already have. So I have a beast of a machine, but I haven't upgraded yet, just because it's been so powerful for the last 3 years. Even 4 years, I think I built this thing. I've upgraded it once. And it's an awesome machine. I have it hooked up to a 27-inch monitor and a 24-inch monitor. And there's no reason for me to go out and spend $1,200 to $1,500 to hook up another beast to the TV when I'm really comfortable in front of my computer screen.
Well, I guess that's kind of where the whole OS things comes with. I mean, if you want to switch over to Linux, or I don't even know if you have to. I think it's just a clean slate. You just, boom, put the OS on a clean computer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, though, is like, because you could build a computer for significantly cheaper than what those are and then just throw SteamOS on it. So that is an option.
It is an option. And you can, I mean, you're not married to it. So you can build your own. Now, I think the biggest news out of this, and I wish that they would focus on it a little bit more. Steam announced, which is owned by Valve, if anybody doesn't know, Steam announced streaming as well. So you can stream from your computer to a Steam box, or they haven't announced it yet, but I'm pretty sure it's coming, a Steam USB stick. I wouldn't be surprised if you can, or HDMI stick. I wouldn't be surprised if you got a little Roku box as a receiver, and you can just stream it right to your TV.
Well, have you seen the Chromecast thing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's probably what it may be, just that little HDMI stick that seriously just plugs in the back of the computer and sits there, and then boom, like.
Yeah. I think that would be the best way. I still need a console though, because I play sports games. And nobody makes and they don't make sports games for Steam.
They do, but I mean, no one gets them. I mean, it's like, I know they have like the new NBA game, and they made it super cheap too.
Well, here's the reason they built it off of the Xbox 360 engine and not the Xbox One and PS4 engine.
Mm.
So they didn't even take advantage of that. They just were like, oh, there you go.
That's kind of lazy.
Yeah. Really lazy. So that kind of that makes me angry. You know, and I need my Madden fix, and I still haven't gotten that. I don't have my PS4 anymore.
Oh.
I need that back.
Family. Man, Christmas.
Ugh.
Bah humbug.
Here's Kevin sitting over here. He's got a PS4, an Xbox One, a PSP, a Nintendo DS, a 3XD 5.4. It's not even released yet.
I've got a Steam box, you know, beta.
He's a beta. He's got everything.
I was at CES earlier today, and you know, I picked up a few things, a couple 4K TVs, no biggie.
No big deal. He's like, this YouTube shit really, really paid off.
Did you get to watch Michael Bay completely choke during his presentation? Did you see that live?
I didn't see that.
I didn't even know about that. What happened?
Oh. Apparently he was up there and they're doing this live thing, and they like, he's supposed to be introducing this new like TV or something. I don't really remember exactly what. And he jumped ahead of like the script a little too much, and it like confused like the teleprompter. And so it just like spazzed out and froze and like failed. And so apparently just awkward lull as nothing happens, because his teleprompter just died, and he was like, crap, and just walked off.
Yeah. I heard about that.
That's
awesome. And then he sent out like an update later, like, you know, like, I just totally embarrassed myself. Like, I got out there, I'm not really good at public speaking in larger audiences or whatever, and the teleprompter messed up, and I just panicked and I walked off stage.
There's
maybe
a reason.
It would have helped if it exploded on him. Oh, there you go. Made him feel totally comfortable.
Yeah. Like, there's a reason why he's a director and not an actor.
Yeah.
God. So. Michael Bay. The ruiner of dreams.
Sorry, the Twitter has been blowing up all day today. My phone keeps going off, making noise.
Oh, seriously.
So, all right. So, in a little bit of comic book news, Marvel will be exclusively publishing Star Wars comics starting in 2015.
Oh, I have such mixed feelings about this. Mm. One, it was inevitable, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Two, man, they've been with Dark Horse for 22 years or something like that.
But Dark Horse is owned by Marvel.
Mm-mm.
No, DC.
DC.
DC. My bad. Hold on. Dark Horse is owned by DC. That's ridiculous, Doug.
Yeah. why is it now ridiculous?
That they're leaving them. They've been with Dark Horse for over 20 years.
Yeah, I just... the original Star Wars comics that came out after the movies were done by Marvel, and they were terrible.
Yeah.
They were so bad. Now, granted, that was before, like, the novels, and Dark Horse kind of goes into, in their release, about how they wanted to do it right, and they spent a lot of time and energy and to make sure that they did everything they could to make the Star Wars comics the best they could and mm-hmm. better than anyone else had done. And they did. And they did it for 20 something years. And so that's what makes it really sad for me. I hope that they bring the creative teams over. Like, I hope they maybe like, hey, you're done there. You want to come work on Star Wars some more with us?
Oh, you know how people are. They get new properties and they're like, we need it fresh. We need it new. It's a yeah. Marvel property. We're doing
it. I just don't want them to like retcon everything that's already happened. Like, Dark Horse has done such a good job of kind of keeping some things like, you know, within its own canon and stuff. And I hope that Marvel doesn't take it and they're like, well, Wolverine.
Yeah.
Wolverine's on Tatooine now.
Yeah.
That's where he was born.
Like, I mean, they could do that, but, you know, well, they're crossovers that they always do, but...
Chewbacca gets a love interest.
Yeah.
That's the Marvel way.
She-Hulk.
Yeah.
And we got green Wookiees running around.
I'm not against that.
So, I don't know. It's sad. I'm sad. I hope that Marvel will continue the great work that that Dark Horse has done.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Yeah, and the thing about Dark Horse too, they really, I mean, they put their heart into their comics too. Like, I mean, they've resurrected series that, like, I mean, movie series that have been, you know, forgotten. Even at one point, like the whole Aliens versus Predator started on Dark Horse, and yep. also, you know, RoboCop versus Terminator, like all these cool crossovers, and they made them like legit to where both sides seemed badass. There was no like one sided victory or anything. I think I could be wrong. When they were working with every once in a while back in the day when they do Marvel versus DC, I think Dark Horse had a place in that too, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm sure they probably did.
They've got passionate people, man, and it's sad to see them lose like such a crazy IP like that.
Well, and such a huge one, and I think part of their press release even says like this is kind of ironic that this is happening after our most successful year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, they're talking about how they're trying to get new licenses for other stuff that they want to, you know, spend just as much time and passion. And I think that they're the ones that are behind like Serenity, right? They're doing the Firefly series.
I believe so.
I think it's Dark Horse that's doing. I got a couple of them. They're somewhere. Oh, they're not in this room at all. So
yeah.
It's just sad to see it. You know, it's like when they took out Lucas Arts. You know, it's like. Oh, mm-hmm. You guys did so many good games.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're just going to be producing games while EA actually makes them.
Yeah.
And EA does a couple of good things here and there, but, you know, man, LucasArts, though. It's just, that's my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I know you were really pissed off when they canceled the Bounty Hunter game.
Dude, don't get me started.
Who wasn't?
Oh, it looks so good. It looked like an Uncharted game, and you just knew that it was going to have that magic, and then bye-bye.
Yeah, and then, you know, it sucks even more is that it'd be one thing if they, like, canned it, and we never got to learn more about it, but the fact that when a lot of these people left LucasArts, and they were just like, oh, you want to know about 1313? Here's all the deets. And then they're, like, spilling all the stuff that was going to happen in the game, and it's like, oh... Why?
Because they knew it was never going to be made.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it was going to be about Boba Fett, and you're going to get to fully upgrade and equip your armor and do all this crazy stuff, and it was going to be the most amazing game of all time. Like, damn it.
But instead, here's Battlefront 3.
Here's Star Wars Pinball.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, whoa.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, whoa.
While we personally don't necessarily care, there's another guy who listens to the show who seriously will find you and kill you.
No, I love Star Wars Pinball. I've got it on my Vita and every other system I own.
Dude,
but
it's Jason. He was a part of the show. I don't really know. And he just has a huge crush on those Zen Pinball games.
I love Zen Pinball. I've spent more money than I should have on Zen Pinball.
Like there was like a Humble Bundle sale, and he was like, if you guys don't buy this,
you will die by the hands.
No, I just find it funny that, yeah, I mean, they're canceling these big special games and like putting out these like, you know, Plants
Angry Birds Star
version.
Wars 2.
Oh, God. And that's the frustrating one. I love it that it's like $3 on iOS, but if you want to get it for PlayStation 4 or Xbox One, it's like 50.
I can't believe how it's highway robbery. It's the same damn game.
Yeah.
Same
that
game.
Same.
Unless, like, you're paying the $50 to have, like, you know, people come over and hang out with you, you know, have, like, James Earl Jones come by, you know, have that whole texting conversation with them in person. That's cool. I'll pay the $50 for that. But other than that, man, it's not worth it.
Oh, is that Jeremy coming over? No. I'll just pay the $3. I'll just pay the $3. So we have a little segment we like to do. I'm in operating mode that we've done this before. This is our first time doing it. It's called Pitch It to Me. It's a new game that we're going to play every week, and we are going to kind of put together and pitch a studio or a game company or a book company an idea for a just announced project, and we're gonna kind of pitch it to the way that we all want to see fit. So, you know, this week our pick is Batman versus Superman. Let's start off big. We'll start off with just throw something out and how it's going to start and what the film is going to be about. And we'll just kind of build upon it. Kevin, I'm going to let you have the pressure of starting this thing.
Oh man. I mean, just what kind of story would I like to see in a Batman versus Superman?
No. This isn't what kind of story. This is the story. Like, you're pitching it to the studio as in, like, this is how it's going to go down.
Oh man, sell I should give him the Kevin Smith pitch. Here's the way I see it. Batman versus Superman. Let's play this game. All right, cool. So it comes down to it, you know, and this is going to have to introduce like the whole Justice League, and you're going to have to get like, you know, all these cats in this game. Basically, I've been wanting to bring the story in for ages. Doomsday. Just introduce Doomsday into the damn movies already. You know, he's going to be the main villain. And before, you know, Lex Luthor lets him unleashes him, you know, basically have Superman think that, you know, Batman's up to something crazy, you know, Batman's not helping at all, you know, something's going down and Batman's just kind of being a jerk. So I guess that kind of, on Batman's side, let's say he's, you know, pissed off that, you know, Superman's getting all the
sleeping
love, you know,
with
Wonder Woman's
wife
on his side, Lois Lane, you know, at least Lois Lane on the side. I heard other side stories about Lois Lane and Bruce Wayne there for a second.
Ooh, that'd be good.
This is naughty. And then, I don't know, man. I would say just, you know, of course they're going to have their little brawl. And I'd say I'd put that brawl at the beginning of the movie, and then I'd just go to Doomsday. Doomsday
or open,
comes
what
and
if
beats
you open
both
up,
their asses.
What if you What's open that? Up with What if you open up with Doomsday, right? And he's just beating the crap out of Superman. And he's just, like, crawling away into Gotham, and he needs to search for Batman. And he's like, Bruce, where is he? I'm dying. Please help me. I'll suck your dick. Please. and then, of course, he helps him out and says, okay, well, I'll do it as long as Gotham doesn't get overrun by your superheroes, because I work alone. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the whole team has to come together and to try to defeat. I guess that would be the only way to really build this movie, is you really would have to introduce the entire Justice League in order to mm-hmm. defeat Doomsday. Because in every story, I mean, how does Doomsday get defeated anyways in the comics?
I mean, he pretty much lays out. I mean, Doomsday starts from one end of the country to the other, and he basically starts laying out Green Lantern, like Justice League, all over. You know, and then finally it comes down to when he's in Metropolis fighting Superman, and they pretty much toward the end, Superman finds out his weakness was his bones are on the outside. So he started trying to break the bones off of him, and that's what killed him. But then they basically, it ended with them killing each other.
You couldn't have another big, huge fight scene though, because you already did that in the first movie.
Right. Yeah. Or even, all right, I got another one for you. Sorry to cut you off there, Doug. But what about if they just ripped off the Civil War? Straight up, Batman has his clique, Superman's got his clique. There you go. And then have them go against each other, superheroes versus superheroes. And the villains are just kind of sitting back and letting it happen. That'd be badass.
That might be pretty cool.
Yeah. Batman can like team up with, like, I mean, even in like teaming up with villains, you know, because they have the similar interests. At one point, Joker will work with Superman because he knows it'll be going after Batman.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
And then like Lex Luthor will work with Batman, you know, because he's going after Superman. Something like that, you know.
Oh, two rich guys.
Yeah.
Going after the poor farmer kid from Kansas. That's fair. Occupy
side of our times.
Occupy Metropolis.
What if
there you go?
Oh my God, they could do like a duality kind of thing to where like the superheroes are fighting each other, but they don't know their secret identities, and so like they're best friends in real life. Bruce Wayne and
this is suddenly a rom com with superheroes.
Yes,
Wonder
yes.
Woman. What do you mean your name is Diana Prince? I loved you.
Wait,
I
you're
didn't
with
notice you under that mask.
You're with Bruce? You were mine. That's what they should turn it into, is just a comedy.
Oh jeez.
There'll be a speed dating scene and everything.
I mean, like it shows a love triangle between Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent and Wonder Woman, and they're just like I loved you first. I loved you more. And then who ends up with her? Nobody.
Aquaman? Nah, Aquaman wouldn't
Martian,
end up with anyone. He's
Martian
forever alone.
He's just crying into the water.
Cyborg. Cyborg wants you to go black.
Yeah. They'd have to bring Shaq back for that one. I want to see either Shaq who plays Steel or Cyborg. That'd be even better.
No, he just comes in for like a quick two-line scene, and he's just like, hey, I'm Man of Steel. And then winks and then just goes off camera.
That's it. Collect your paycheck, Shaq.
Still.
Yeah, I'm still the Man of Steel.
I'm all Man of Steel.
And he still wears the suit from the movie he was in.
Yeah.
That'd be terrible.
Except he's fat now, so he kind of bulges out. It's great.
The beer belly. He just has the upper section with just gut hanging out.
Oh, that would be the movie I would pay at least $12 to see.
What are you talking about? 15 if you go to the extreme theaters now.
Go to the Fork and View or whatever.
Golly, that's gotten ridiculous. Man, I think that covers it pretty well. What do you think? Is there anything else you'd want to add, Doug?
No, I was my idea or how I would pitch this movie. Is that if Superman can go around just murdering everyone in Metropolis?
No, come on, Doug. We talked about this before. If you watch the Avengers movie, they kill just as many freaking people, Doug.
Listen, okay? Okay, listen, I'm not done. Then this Batman needs to not be Bruce Wayne Batman. He needs to be Thomas Wayne Batman from the Flashpoint Paradox storyline, and he needs to be a gun-toting, like, crazy-ass motherfucker. Just like, I'm gonna kill everybody! And then the Joker needs to be Martha Wayne. Bam.
Yes.
Oh, blew your mind. That's what it needs to be. That's why Batman is bad. And that's why it's gritty, and that's why he's old and, like, pissed off, because his son got killed.
By Superman.
By Superman, when the building fell on him.
Yep.
He was in the building.
He was in what? They were like, hey, let's go chill in Metropolis. We're going to go on family vacation.
Or maybe Batman's just really pissed off that one of his satellites got taken out in the first movie, and he wants revenge. Okay,
like
total
Thomas
silence from that. No one liked my idea. All right, guys. Well, thanks for playing this game.
We're sorry that your idea sucked. Sorry.
It didn't suck. It was a very logical thing played off of the first movie. I'm pretty sure that it would have been the best if we asked the fans.
There you go. Jump to Twitter, everyone. What do you think?
Whose idea was the best? Watch them all say, oh, I like the romantic comedy one.
Yeah, the rom-com all the way.
The rom-com.
All right, sorcery. Hey, tell us which one you thought was best.
He can't answer you.
Anytime now?
Anytime now? There's anytime a delay. Now. There's a delay, obviously, guys.
I'm waiting on Twitter.
Please be my friend.
Please follow us on Twitter.
I want to know what everybody has in their playlist right now. I said earlier that I'm playing Batman Arkham Origins.
Yeah, you said to keep this down to, like, you know, either a movie or a book or I've got one for all three.
Well, Doug, you've never followed the rules, so, and you're always like, you're just you consume, consume. So you go ahead.
Now you can go. I mean, you're playing Batman Arkham Origins.
I'm playing Arkham Origins. I'm having a great time with it. It's a lot of fun. I stayed away from it at launch because of the Metacritic score, but I have started playing it and I realize it's just as great as Arkham City. The only complaint that people have against it is that it's exactly the same game with a different story, which isn't a bad thing.
I've enjoyed it a lot. I really think that the voice actors have all done a phenomenal job. The guy that does the voice of Bruce Wayne is the one that did the voice of Ezio from Assassin's Creed, Assassin's Creed series. I think he does a phenomenal job as Batman. And then the guy that does the Joker did, like, Booker DeWitt from...
Yeah, Troy Baker.
Yes. And, dude, he blows my mind. Like, every time I hear him, like, in a game, it's like, what do you mean that's Troy Baker? What, like... Because I think he's Batman in the Lego Batman franchise, and then he was Two-Face in Arkham City. And then he's Booker DeWitt in Bioshock Infinite. And then, of course, then he's Joker in this. He sounds just like Mark Hamill. He sounds, I mean, it's obviously different, but there are times when it's just like, I would not be able to tell the difference.
You know, he's from Dallas, Texas?
I did know that.
Also, one other one, he was Joel in Last of Us, too.
Yeah.
That was another big one.
He's become really, really popular.
You know who does the voice of the Penguin? Throwback.
Nolan North.
Nolan North is the Penguin.
That's awesome.
And then Nolan North played a part in Last of Us, too. He played the psychopath. It was awesome. Like, both of those guys, like, when they work together, they're amazing.
Yeah.
I want to be a voice actor.
It's like my dream job. I want to be a voice actor, and I just want to work with these people.
I could do it. Okay, all right, hold on. I'm going to put you on the spot.
I don't want to do, like, Joker. Don't make me do, like,
no,
a Joker.
No, I'm not going to make you do Joker. Just do a...
I could never.
All right, I'm gonna have you do it. What do you think, Kevin? Give him something to voice act.
Oh, don't put me on the spot. I can't do it when I'm on the spot like this.
You're excited about Penguin. Let's see.
Yeah,
let's
do a
Penguin. Or are you going to do the Danny DeVito Penguin?
I don't think I can do either of those.
Okay, just do an insane asylum kind of character. Somebody who's crazy and... Listen, you got to be on the spot when you do these when you're going to auditions.
Well, normally you have either something already prepared, so... Or they give you a script in advance where you can, like, learn the character as well as the lines,
because
you'll do a read.
Your character,
you'll do a read through.
Listen, I'm gonna give you the best character ever. It's you, just crazy. So you've been playing this part all your life,
Jeremy.
Yes.
I missed you so much, Jeremy.
Do you want to make love to me, or are you crazy?
I'm going to come over and slit your throat and drink your blood and bathe in it.
That's kind of creepy. Do something to Kevin. Say something to Kevin. Do something.
I like Kevin. Kevin's okay. I'm not crazy about him. Just you.
Oh, you just love me? It's okay. It's good.
It's on the spot. I'm just, you know.
Homework for next week.
Yeah, homework for next week.
Well, like, give me something. Like, you know, like, next week, let me have some lines and then give me a character.
Okay, we'll try it. Well, it's a new segment. It's called Doug's Voiceovers.
Doug's failed attempt at being a voice actor.
Yeah. Doug's Auditions, that's what it'll be called. All right, so, Kevin, what are you doing right now? What are you consuming in media?
Let's see. I just picked up Assassin's Creed 4. I was a little slow to it because Assassin's Creed 3 rubbed me the wrong way. Like, I just not get into that game at all.
I didn't either.
Same. Yeah.
And everyone was like, well, don't worry about 3. 4, it blows it away. And so far, it does, actually. Like, I love being the life of a pirate. Like, and it's the best thing about it so far. I'm about 2 hours into the game. But every time you're actually sailing the seas and everything, like, your crew is, like, singing some, like, really cool, like, pirate themes.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, you feel like a badass in that game. I like that game a lot more than I liked Assassin's Creed 3. So I've given that a chance. Let's see. Video game wise, or I'm sorry, like movie wise, I just saw American Hustle, and that was unbelievable. Highly recommend that movie. It was very good. Then, what was it? What was the other one? Books?
Like books or comics or something?
You know, I just started reading the new Deadpool written by Brian Posehn, and there was one other guy. I can't remember his name.
No way. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Brian Posehn is helping to write the new Deadpool, and it's cool because it's kind of like it's not a reboot, but he's not really dealing with the voices in his head, but they need Deadpool to handle outside sources. Like, he's got to kill a bunch of, like, you know, villains, but they don't want to put, like, Captain America on the job. It was – no, they're resurrecting presidents, and they don't want Captain America killing presidents, so they send Deadpool to do the job, and it's pretty funny so far.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that's pretty much what I'm doing.
And what about you, Dougie Fresh?
I'm going to just echo him and say Assassin's Creed 4 is what I'm playing right now. Same thing. I finished AC3 to get ready for Assassin's Creed 4, and
finished it.
I did. I was like, I'm not going to start the fourth one until I finish the third one.
Crazy.
And it was just you know, I finished it like 2-3 months ago. And then, like, right before the fourth one came out, and I picked the fourth one, like, the day it came out. And I did not start playing it until, like, Thursday.
You know what I want? I want some closure I'm tired of the lead character. I just want some closure on his character because it's always the same thing over and over again. And
he's not really in this one.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, that's we can't talk about that, but it's crazy. It's the like how you're in the Animus in this one is
it's meta.
It's yeah, it really is. You're game testing because they have like DNA from Desmond and you're playing it because they're making a game out of it. And at the beginning of like that storyline, they give you like an employee like passport, I think that's what it's called, and it has like the history of Abstergo. Entertainment, and it's like, oh, we've partnered with Ubisoft to release the Assassin's Creed series. And
that's
it's
awesome.
Like, but it's been a great game. Like he said, the whole just, you know, having your own ship and sailing, and like he said, you can hear the people singing, which is, I've been playing a little bit longer than you have. It's really started to get on my nerves, and I just found out today that apparently if you use like the D-pad, if you press down, Edward like tells him to shut up.
Really? I'm like, gonna try that.
Yeah, he's like, okay, enough of that. Or if you and there's you can collect like some of the collectibles like throughout the town and stuff. Like you have to like chase them. Like in Assassin's Creed 3, you had to follow Ben Franklin's like notebook pages, and this one it's sea shanties. So as you run along, you can find new ones, and they'll start singing those when you unlock them. Like, you find the page, like, hey, sing this song, I guess. I mean, you don't see that happen, but... So, you can use the left or right button to scroll through, like, the song. So, you're like, I don't listen to this one anymore. You just hit that button, and they sing another one.
Yeah, they'll start singing Skinnerd or something like that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But it's been a lot of fun. I agree, the whole pirate aspect of it is amazing. The ships, fights, and all that stuff is great. The exploring, like, islands and stuff, and just... all the crap. Oh, it's amazing. It's so much fun. I love it. Like, screw Assassin's Creed 3. Like, you have to play it, or at least wiki the end. Like, if you don't want to play it, just find out how the game ends and then move on.
Or just
on.
YouTube it. Yeah, YouTube the ending. That's what I did.
And that's what I've been playing. It's awesome.
I just couldn't get over... I really couldn't get over the third one where the RTS... Or not the RTS, but the tower defense game.
That wasn't in AC3. That was in Assassin's Creed Brotherhood?
Revolutions?
Revelations.
Yeah.
You know what I did?
Okay, that's what it was. Okay, yeah. I finished 3. That's right. Okay. It was Revelations that I couldn't get through.
Okay. Yeah, what I did for Revelations is I seriously, like, they make you do that first walkthrough. Like, hey, if your tower is under defense, do this. I seriously, like, played that game so that would never, ever, ever happen. The first thing I did was take out every single one of those towers so no other tower could ever attack another one of my towers.
Are you serious? That's awesome.
Ever. Because I was like, this is dumb. This is the dumbest thing ever.
I should have done that.
So I immediately got rid of them before I could do, like, anything else. Like, I was like, I'm not doing it. I can't do it. So
that's what I should have did.
As far as what am I watching, I watched this week, it's that wonderful time of year when things come online that probably shouldn't be online yet because of
award seasons.
And I caught a glimpse of Lone Survivor, which comes out this weekend.
You mean you watched the entire movie?
Oh, I watched the entire movie. In glorious, like, 1080p, man. It was, like, one of the best screeners I have ever seen.
Nice.
It was beautiful.
Was it great? great
movie. Except for, you know, of course, every like 30 minutes for your consideration. But aside from that, like, it was, I mean, no pixelation. It looked, oh, it was amazing. And the movie was great too. It was, I'm not a huge fan of war movies. They just don't really do it for me. But this one, even though the title kind of gives away the whole movie.
Oh yeah, Lone Survivor. There's only one guy who makes it out.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. It was still really good. Mark Wahlberg did a great job. And then one of my favorite actors, who I think is one of the most underrated people in Hollywood, Ben Foster. He was in 310 to Yuma. He was in a show called like Flash Forward on Disney Channel when I was a kid. He was in X-Men Last Stand for like 5 minutes, which is a shame because they really promoted his character and then he was only in it for like 5 minutes.
Like everyone else in that movie.
Yeah. He was going to be Archangel, and I was so pumped that he was going to be Archangel, and then it was just like, no, you're gone. But he was really great in this movie. I don't know. There's points where you're like cheering for them because they're getting off these like headshots that you only see in like Call of Duty. Like that's impossible. No one could ever really do that. But then there's other times where you're just like, I mean, like seriously sitting there just like, oh no.
Yeah,
like,
but the actual survivor of the film, was actually on set to oversee it. So everything is pretty accurate.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, if you've seen the trailer, I don't want to like spoil this, but you've seen in the trailer, it's like they're kind of like up against a cliff, and they have to make the decision, like either we're gonna fight it out here or we're gonna jump, and they decide to jump, and it's one of those like, you're like, oh, they just fall and they're hitting rocks and trees.
Oh, that was in the trailer as well.
Yeah, exactly. And you're just, and it's just, oh, it's painful. It's so painful because it's weight. It's like, did you ever see that movie, Hot Rod?
Mm-hmm.
When Andy Samberg's,
when like, he goes down into the woods down the mountain.
Yeah, and it's really, really long.
Yeah.
It's like this, that, but not funny.
Oh man.
You're just, by the time that they actually hit the bottom, you're like, how are you alive? Like, I mean, screw the guy shooting at you. That should have killed you. That's ridiculous.
Well, thanks for ruining the movie for us.
I'm just saying, it doesn't ruin it. It was awesome, but it was just, I don't know. It had its ups and its downs, and then it was good. In the end, I was like, you know, you're kind of somber after a movie like that. We're just like, holy shit. Like, so much respect for the, you know, the people in arms and stuff, just that they put themselves in that situation that I would never want to be in.
Yeah,
ever.
I call myself a pansy because I don't think I could ever do anything like that.
I could never do it. Like, even watching like something like that, and then like even comparing it to like Red Dawn, you know, it's like, you know, if that was to happen, I would still be like, nah, I'm dead.
Kevin's just sitting there going, I was in the Marines, you faggots.
No, I'm just waiting. No. I, trust me, the way I look,
I'm going to chime in right now.
Yeah. No.
I
couldn't handle it.
No. So that's a lot of respect to those people. And this one does a really good job of not over glorifying some of the stuff that happens to them, where they make it like, oh, look how awesome it is to be, you know, a Navy SEAL.
So they didn't make
cool
it
cool stuff we get to do, but it's like, no, this shit sucks. This sucks ass sometimes.
So they didn't make it into a promotional video.
No, this one, it probably won't make you want to go join.
That's good.
Not that, I mean, it might. It may inspire someone to go
fight for their country.
Yeah, I mean, it very well could. Personally, I was like, thank God there are people who have more balls than me.
Let's.
I have one more thing.
Oh my goodness!
What I'm reading, I'll just keep this short. Fable, the Fable series, Fables, The Wolf Among Us is based on it. That's why I picked up the series. 3 volumes in, it's phenomenal. You need to read it. You need to be reading this comic.
Okay. What are you guys looking forward to in 2014? Get you real quick, hit it list because we are just way over time.
Who cares?
Kevin, what are you looking for in 2014? What video games, what movies?
Let's see. Video games, Watch Dogs. I'm definitely looking forward to that. Let's see. Movies. Oh, man. I'm kind of excited about Amazing Spider-Man 2. Don't really care for Electro, but I'm excited to see where it would go. Like, I think Mark Webb did a great job with the first one. Let's see. And then
we have ripped that movie apart on this show.
Yeah. I didn't think it was so bad. You know, I went into it with very low expectations, so maybe that was it.
That's kind of how I said. I mean, I haven't really watched it since I saw it in theaters, but I didn't hate it. I didn't care for the villain. I thought the villain was not rememberable, whether he was unmemorable, I guess the word I want to use.
No.
But I thought it was okay, and I'm excited to see this one too.
I'm just hoping this one sets up something, because they were talking about making separate movies for Venom and for the Sinister Six.
Oh, that's confirmed.
So I hope there's some kind of setup on this. Yeah. I don't know. Other than that, then books, I have no clue. I mean, just whatever's coming out, I'll pick it up. So.
Cool. Doug?
Yeah, this is really tough. I don't know if there's really any games that are really speaking to me right now. Like, Watch Dogs looks really cool, but I feel like that's a next-gen game, and I don't have a next-gen console.
You got a PC? So it's coming out on a PC as well.
Yeah. I don't know. I really need to like just look at a list of what's coming out this year. But as of right now, I mean, I guess maybe the rest of season 2 of The Walking Dead.
Good call.
Maybe the rest of The Wolf Among Us. I'm really enjoying what Telltale's doing. And they've said that 2014 for their Game of Thrones game and Borderlands games. I don't really see it happening. But if it did, then that would be my number one game. Movies? I don't. Maybe Captain America. That trailer really brought me in. There's a couple of other good movies coming out. Godzilla, for example.
There you go. Good call.
So you know, this summer, just summer movies, man. Yeah. I think we'll have some good ones this summer. And as far as comics, I'm really loving the new 52 Batman stuff, and I really want to get the next volume, the Day Zero stuff.
Good luck. That's not coming out until spring, summer, something like that.
Yeah, it's like 6 months from the end of the published date until it is released, and I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't even know when that is. That's like issue 25 and stuff, and I think that there's only 3 volumes out, so that probably goes through 21, right? It'll be right before. It'll probably be right after.
I'm looking forward to, in video game land, EverQuest next. Really interested in that one. That's it looks like a lot of fun, a lot of crowdsourced material, or not material, but items are going to be crafted into that game. And then also Destiny.
Yes. Yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about. Like, I don't remember any of these games.
Destiny is a huge game that I'm looking forward to. Wish it was coming to the PC, but I will be getting a PS4 before that game comes out. So I will be hitting that up with somebody.
Are any of you going to do, like, Elder Scrolls Online? I mean, I don't know if you guys are MMOs at all.
I was interested in it, but it kind of looks like the same old, and I'm kind of getting tired of that whole just rinse, repeat. That's why I'm looking forward to EverQuest next, is just because of the fact that it looks fresh, it looks new, and, you know,
I haven't seen anything. Have you seen Wildstar? Have you seen anything on that? Mm-mm. That's another MMO coming out in April, I think. It's like fun. It kind of reminds me of, like, Jak and Daxter, almost, in, like, the animation style. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It may be something to check out. I don't really do a whole lot of MMOs, so I'm on the fence for either of those. I mean, I like Skyrim and stuff, but I don't know if I want to do an MMO of it.
Yeah. The summer movies I am looking forward to are X-Men Days of Future Past.
Oh. Yep.
Seriously.
I changed my vote. I'm going with that one.
No shit.
I forgot that's coming out this year. Oh, crap.
I am looking also forward to, as much as I have disliked, I don't know, man, but I'm still, Michael Bay, Transformers 4 Age of Extinction. Guardians of the Galaxy.
You're looking forward to that?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Dude, okay, now, I was looking at, like, you know, up-and-coming movies, like, you know, that are supposed to be coming out in the next few months, and the new Ninja Turtle movie is supposed to come out in March.
I cannot wait.
No. There's no, like, way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's got to be wrong, but
that's what it is.
Yeah, that's
got to be wrong.
Like, I haven't seen anything, not even a poster.
No,
and I don't
nothing.
Even think they've even finished filming.
No, I'm looking right now, and no, August. It's scheduled for August 8th.
Okay, maybe it got pushed back, because it was one of those.
I think that because here's the thing, they've already finished the toy line, and they're starting to leak out, and so I'm pretty sure they're well into post-production at this point, or finishing, at least finishing production and getting right into post-production.
We just haven't seen anything. You know, I wonder if they're saving it for like a Super Bowl ad.
Could be.
Oh, good call. Yeah.
Could be. Anyways, I'd like to thank Kevin for being on our inaugural show of the year, our first show, and our revamped show. So thank you, Kevin. Is there anything you want to plug? Any YouTube or Twitter page? Anything?
Yeah, where can people find you if they want to follow you, like Jeremy did?
Oh, he follows me very interestingly. But I've got the YouTube. It's youtube.com/KevinWK. I'm on Twitch now, actually, streaming every once in a while. So twitch.tv/KevinWK. Pretty much everything at Kevin, Twitter at KevinWK and all that fun stuff. Or follow me on Facebook. I like being friends with you people. Same deal. Look up KevinWK.
Yeah, I was really surprised he friended me because after I sent him the nude photo, he still was like, I'm so in.
I sent him a photo of, like, me in the Borat bikini. Yeah. I was like, I like.
But is this one that you also shaved out of your body hair?
Yes. And then I dyed it green. I dyed my body hair green. You don't want to know what the bikini part looked like.
Well, that's our show for the week. I hope that everybody enjoyed it. Go hit us up on Twitter and on Facebook and keep in touch with us. The show will be released on podcast form on Tuesday. Until next week, I am Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
Have a great week.